773-373-3366, and they'll provide you more information.
Amen. And I think, Reverend Jackson, let's be very clear that people understand when you have one candidate saying you'll never have the vote again, he means that. He means that, you know, that there are what we call these anti-democracy forces in our country, and they are determined to take away the right to vote. And they are determined to have second-class citizenship for people who they feel can reside in the U.S. but not have a vote. Folks, we have to really, really, really understand what's at stake. Reverend Jackson, how do people get in touch with you? You just gave them the push number. Is there any other way? Can they follow you on social media? Any other way that people can follow your brilliance as you?
Well, I'm only on Facebook, Jesse Jackson Jr. I'm on Facebook. I have a little check next to my name. Please come to my page and like me, or I refuse to give everybody Barbara Arnwine a personal cell number right now if you're trying to reach me.
I understand. Oh, no, we're not trying to do that. We're not trying to do that. We want them to follow on social. No. We definitely don't want to do that. You need to get all these important calls coming in. And Cameron, you know, how do people get in touch with you? I know you got to run. How do people get in touch with you, sir?
I'm still, of course, on Facebook as well as Cameron Barnes. I'm on Instagram, Cam B, C-A-M, letter B, period, number 8. And you'll be able to see a lot that I'm doing. I hate that I'm not going to be able to be in Columbus with Reverend Jackson Jr. and Sharpton and all. You all know I'm, of course, now the Southside Community Coordinator in the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives for Chicago Public Schools, and we've got some work to do this week, so I'm not able to travel. But I want everyone to keep all these different things in mind, especially that which Congressman Jackson has put forth, because he is really the blueprint when it comes to these things. Even when I ran for office, I had to go and consider the advice of Congressman Jackson. So I would make sure that you all take heed to what it is he's saying.
Amazing. Thank you so much, former Congressman Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr. Thank you. Just thank you. I can't wait to have you back on the show. And thank you for everything you're doing, for driving to these different states, for activating voters in these states, for all of your leadership. Just thank you, sir. We are extremely grateful to you.
My honor. My honor. And I'll be in touch with everyone. Have a great day.
Absolutely.
I'll see you soon.
And Cameron, thank you, sir. And let's keep these young voters going. This is so critical. And thank you for all of your leadership.
I love the TBC Coalition. You know it. I appreciate you all. Thank you for what you do, Attorney Arnwine. I can't go.
All right, now. We got work to do because we got to make sure people know about how to vote, know where to vote, know when to vote, all of those things. And I am just so grateful for everybody who's doing that. Now, there, you know, we vote because we want the best government possible. We vote because we want to make sure that there's justice being served to all Americans. We want to vote because we want opportunity for everyone. Well, another reason why we vote is because we want police to be accountable. And this issue of, you know, Black Lives Matters, this issue of police accountability just keeps rearing its ugly, ugly head every time we turn around. And we now are looking at a major press conference that was held last week by the NAACP, ACLU, by, you know, the People's Organization for Progress. And we want to talk about why in New Jersey there was this press conference held and what's going on with the state troopers in New Jersey. I am happy to welcome to the show Lawrence Larry Ham. He is the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. Welcome, Larry Ham.
Sister Arnwine, thank you for having me on. It's an honor for me to be on your program today. And thank you for all the great work you have done and continue to do regarding the struggle for democracy here in the United States.
Amen. Amen. Tell people, you know, when I started at the Lawyers Committee in 1989, you know, where I was for, you know, 20-something years plus years, one of the first cases that I saw was an old, quote, old case that involved the New Jersey state troopers, and it was a consent decree to stop them from doing all kinds of horrible things to African Americans, as not only as employees, but horrible things to those who, civilians and others who were just trying to live their lives. Tell people what and why there was this press conference last week.
Well, this press conference was a response to the reports, a report issued by the state attorney general and several other reports. In fact, there were two reports, one from the current state attorney general and one from the previous state attorney general. And I believe there was a third report that may have been from the comptroller's office. But the long and the short of it is that for the umpteenth time, people have looked at the behavior and practices of the New Jersey State Police, which historically have been racist and sexist and misogynistic. So they issued a report calling for, you know, the usual internal reforms that are called for when we see misconduct and negative behavior on the part of police agencies. But the press conference was called by the state conference of the NAACP of the state of New Jersey, whose president is Richard Smith, to say that they wanted more than that. The state conference of the NAACP called for the dismissal of the top-tier leadership of the New Jersey State Police, including Colonel Callahan, who is the titular leader of the New Jersey State Police. The NAACP, President Richard Smith, invited me to participate in the press conference. Let me say, I'm also a member of the NAACP, but I am the chairman and founder of the People's Organization for Progress, founded 42 years ago, a grassroots all-volunteer organization that works for racial, social, economic justice and peace. And one of our major areas of work over the four decades of our existence has been the problem of police brutality in our communities. So Richard Smith was generous enough to invite me to participate in that press conference. I support the demand of the state NAACP for the dismissal of the top-tier leadership. I think anyone who has seriously studied organizational management knows that the leadership sets the pace for the organization. So I support their demand. But during the press conference, I said that we had to go further, that there had to be literally a deconstruction and reconstruction of the state police, that the racism and the misogyny and even now homophobia runs so deep that the whole department would have to be reorganized. And the other thing I called for was civilian oversight of the New Jersey State Police. Now, our organization historically, we've called for community control of the police, and we've called for, in that regard, the establishment of police review boards with subpoena power. But those earlier demands were for local municipal police forces. This was the first time publicly we had come out for some type of body to be established, made up of citizens, to oversee the state police and to hold them accountable for their racist and sexist behavior. So that, in a nutshell, is why that press conference was called and how I was able to participate in it and support the demands of the NAACP, but put forward the need for ongoing institutional and radical reconstruction of the New Jersey State Police.
Wow.
No, you know, Mr. Hamm, you know, I sit and I listen to what you're laying out, and, you know, I come, you know, I hail out of the state of Maryland, and, you know, we had a lot of problems with black police officers being discriminated against by our Maryland State Police Department. And, of course, you know, we underwent a pretty vigorous investigation and entered into a consent decree. I see that, you know, in some of the information that that has been put forward out of New Jersey, that there were complaints about the New Jersey State Police Department weaponizing internal complaints to try to block promotions of black police officers. Now, could you lift up a little bit about, you know, what's actually what are these allegations? What's going on within the New Jersey Police Department that is, you know, somehow lifting up the need for these types of actions? And what percentage of the New Jersey State Police are black?
Well, let me say this. First of all, the press conference that Barbara referred to as we opened this segment was held almost a year to the day of an almost exact same press conference I participated
right.
with in the NAACP last year, almost a
right.
year
mm-hmm.
to the day.
Mm-hmm.
Before these reports were even issued.
Wow.
And the reason that press conference was held was because of lawsuits. See, there are at least two parts to this. There are probably more to do, but at least two. Two parts. One is the racist behavior and practices of the state police toward civilians. The other
right.
is the racism and racist behavior and practices of the state police that they exhibit toward their own officers. And so last year when we had this press conference, it was with officers that had brought lawsuits against the New Jersey State Police. I remember vividly black officers, female officers, Hispanic officers, and gay officers all mm-hmm. bringing lawsuits because they had been denied promotions. They had been the victims of harassment by other officers. They had been the victims of discriminatory behavior by their superior officers that they reported to, and on and on and on. And one of the aspects of the press conference that was held last week, last Friday, was the fact that the state police have scores of these lawsuits that they haven't even acted on yet, and that the representatives were there of those litigants were there to say that it was time for the Attorney General's office and time for the state police to come to the table and resolve these lawsuits, that they have been slow walking these lawsuits, stonewalling these lawsuits. You know, the New Jersey State Police have a long history of racism that go all the way back. I mean, I'm not going to dwell on it here, but I think this audience, being an educated audience, we all know by now that contemporary police forces as we know them today have their origins in slave patrols. And so does the New Jersey State Police. They have a racist origins. They have a racist history. And over the years, there have been various attempts to corral this behavior. I mean, Barbara talked about 1989. In 2000, the Justice Department put another consent decree on the New Jersey State Police. They were in there. They were under that consent decree for almost 10 years. It didn't get lifted, I think, until 2009. At that time,
when they lifted that consent decree, we opposed it. We said the consent decree